Amen. Thank you, Wood family. Blessing that is. Don't we look forward to that day?
Yes.
Don't we look forward to that day?
Yes.
Man, I just spent a whole week at a workshop on Revelation and living in the throne room of God all week long. And man, it made me excited for what is to come when Christ returns. That's going to be a glorious day. I'll ask you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. Acts 14, and while you're turning there, I just want to say that I'm so thankful for your love and hospitality for us this week in the comfortable room and the gift baskets that were left for us in the room. You've been a blessing to us already, and you have been from the time that we first came here, and you took us on for support. And so we just want to express our gratitude one more time to you. And tonight, kind of a different message for me. I don't normally share in the struggles of church planting, but really just felt like this was what God wanted us to do tonight. And so I'm just going to speak from the heart and from God's word, and I trust that God will help us get what he wants us to get from this tonight. If you'll stand as we read God's word together, we'll be at the end of chapter 14, though technically, we're going to cover things from chapter 13 all the way through chapter 14. But I want to read just from verse 26 through verse 28 for now. Acts chapter 14, verse 26. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. And with this text, it concludes the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas as they come back to their sending and supporting church and report on what God has done. And so I just want to speak to you tonight on this matter, a report on the real blessing of church planting. Father, we come to you and ask for your help once again to understand your word, for it to be clear. And I pray that you would help us all to respond to your word, that this would challenge us and affect our lives in the area of giving and missions and church planting. And I pray that Bethany Baptist Church would be everything that you want her to be. It's in Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Life has a way of giving us experiences of tremendous highs and horrendous lows. If we were having a testimony service tonight and we were passing the microphone around the room, and I asked if you have ever experienced some tremendous things in your life, and you want to share what God has done, I'd invite you to stand. We pass the mic around. I'm sure hands would go up and people would stand all over the room to testify of some incredible things that God has done in your life. And if on the flip side, we said, now I'd like you to stand if you've been through some tremendous lows, or I should say horrendous lows in your life. And I'm sure that again, many hands and many people would stand all around the room. And so in some measure, all of us share in common this fact that we have tremendous highs and horrendous lows in life. And the reality is that a church planting ministry is no different. That there are times when you're on cloud nine and God is just working. Souls are being saved and baptized and lives are being changed and God is doing some special things and everything is awesome. But there are also times when you're in the pits, times when you question your call, times when finances are tight, times when your kids are struggling, times when your spouse is struggling, and times when you are struggling. You go through seasons of weeks or perhaps even months with no first-time visitors. You go through periods of time where you might even go a year plus without seeing one soul saved. times when you don't see the baptistry waters stirred. There are times when you pour into people and they hurt you. There are times when you struggle financially and costs go up and cars break down again and again and again. Sometimes, you know, we can have this view that missionaries and church planters are like these superheroes of faith. But I can assure you that we are just like you. Just like you. We too experience tremendous highs, but we also experience horrendous lows in ministry. But it should not surprise us that this happens, because this is the way it's always been. Paul and Barnabas experienced on their very first missionary journey some tremendous highs, but they also experienced some horrendous lows. In one city, they were being worshipped and revered as gods. And in the same city, Paul was stoned and left for dead. I'd say that's about as high as it can get and as low as it can get in one place. And yet that was their experience. They were called by the Holy Spirit and commissioned by the church at Antioch of Syria in chapter 13 onto this church planting ministry in the region of Galatia. And as they made their way through that region, they saw God do some awesome things, but they also encountered some spiritual opposition in their lives. But in spite of all the highs and all the lows that they encountered, we come here to the end of chapter 14 with them coming back to Antioch to report on the real blessing that came through all the highs and all the lows of the ministry that they had just experienced. Well, today, I'm here to report to this church about what God has done in Boulder. And tonight, I'd like to share with you some of the lows. And I'd like to share with you some of the highs. But above all, I want to share with you the real blessing of church planting. And my goal tonight is the same as the Apostle Paul's: to encourage you in what God has done through the support you have given to our family and our ministry. And so let's consider, first of all, the highs and the lows of church planting. But I want to start with God's Word. I want to start with maybe a unique perspective on these two chapters that we could go back and we could read through specific verses in chapter 13 and 14. But what I'd rather do tonight, what I think will help us, is to present this in an imaginative way. I want you to imagine with me that you are the church at Antioch in Syria. And I want you to imagine that your missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, have returned from their first missionary journey on the field. And as they come tonight, a video has been prepared that would be played on the screens, narrated by Barnabas himself. And Barnabas would open up this video with the first scene describing how they departed from Antioch. And I'm sure that there were much tears and many hugs and much prayer that went into that, and even fasting that went into that. And they had this great send-off service. And so Barnabas begins by explaining how they first landed on the island of the island of Cyprus in a city called Salamis. And as they landed here, they preached the word of God. But Barnabas says that there was really nothing to report here. But something exciting happened. My nephew John Mark joined us from Jerusalem. And God added to our missionary church planting team. And it was so encouraging not only to have a companion in ministry, but to have him be family. And I was really excited about that. But there was really nothing to report in Salamis. And so we moved on further to the west across the island of Cyprus, and we landed in a city called Paphos. And in Paphos, we came across the Roman deputy of this area by the name of Sergius Paulus. And he, in a surprising fashion, called for us. We weren't even knocking doors. He called us up and said, I want to hear God's word, and we rejoiced. And so we went to him, but when we came, there was a man standing beside him, a man by the name of Bar-Jesus. He was a false prophet and a Jew and a sorcerer, and he withstood us, and he got in our face. And we had this political leader that was ripe for the saving. And yet this man, satanically influenced man, opposed us and tried to turn him away from his faith. But Satan would not have the victory on that day. Paul rebuked him. The Lord smote him with blindness. And our first recorded conversion was a Roman political leader. God saved that man. Well, we sailed across the Mediterranean into Asia, the region of Galatia, and we landed in this place called Perga. And as we arrived at Perga, my nephew left us, abandoned us. Went back to Jerusalem, and it hurt. We didn't understand why, but he just couldn't do it. And so we left there, and we went on to Antioch in Pisidia. Paul preached in synagogue a tremendous message about Jesus Christ. And there were many Jews and many proselytes who came to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we rejoice in that. And the Gentiles wanted us to come back the next week, and they wanted to hear it again. We were excited. We were planning for this big day. And when we came, there was a vast multitude of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that showed up to hear Christ preached. But when the Jews saw the crowd, they were so envious that they began to stir up the people against us. And they stirred up many honorable women in the city and many of the chief men of the city, and they began to persecute us and to chase us down, and they expelled us out of the city. So we moved on. We went to Iconium. And when we head to Iconium, Paul preaches in the synagogue, and a multitude of both Jews and Greeks believed on the Lord. And yet what happened is a group of Gentiles and Jews together assaulted us. And they came up with a plot to beat us and to stone us to death. And so when we found out, we left Iconium. We then headed on to Lycaonia and the cities of Lystra and Derbe. Paul preached Christ there in Lystra. And there was this crippled man who had been lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked a day in his life. And yet in the name of Jesus Christ, Paul told that man to rise up and walk. And he leaped. And this man was healed by the power of Jesus Christ. And there was a great multitude that believed. And things got crazy. The whole city went bizarre, nuts, however you want to say it. They were convinced that we were the gods Jupiter and Mercury having come incarnated in the flesh, and they began to organize a sacrifice to us. And when we found out, we had to run down into the city streets and we had to put a stop to this. And Paul's words just barely stopped the sacrifice. I mean, what God was doing there was so wonderful and so strong that these people were worshiping at our feet. But within days, the Jews from Antioch, 110 miles away, and Iconium, another 20 miles away, came. And they began to stir up the people. And they stoned Paul, dragged him outside of the city, and left him for dead. Now let's put pause on our video presentation for a moment and consider where we're at. That through Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey, I would say they have experienced some tremendous highs of God doing some amazing things. But they have also experienced some tremendous lows of personal, spiritual, physical opposition and oppression and persecution. That's how church planting is. My family and I, we have not been stoned in any way. Considering we're in Boulder, should pick different words here. We have not had rocks thrown at us. Oh, Lord, help me here. Let me recover from that. We have not been assaulted. We have not been beaten. We've not certainly been revered as gods. But we've experienced ups and downs. Let's consider first just some of the highs. God's provided for us in some miraculous ways. We started the ministry on full support, being able to fully devote our time and our lives to the ministry, because many churches, I believe it's 72 churches like this, took us on for support over those 13 months. We praise God for that. When we got there, we were looking for a place to meet. There was a 1,600 square foot storefront there available that was $4,000 a month. And we said, I don't know that that's stewarding God's money well. And we prayed. And God provided us two meeting places, one in a Jewish synagogue for Sunday mornings and one at a Chinese Baptist church on Sunday nights and Thursday nights for a midweek for $1,500 a month. No small feat where we're at. That was God. God provided for us when our cars were breaking down all throughout 2024. The money that we spent was the money that came in from churches just like this. We've seen God provide for us in some unique ways, and it's truly a tremendous high when you have no idea what you're going to do, you have no idea how you're going to make it, and God comes through and just takes care for you. That's a tremendous high that we get to experience. But then there's the people. We've seen several people who have been unchurched for 30 plus years find a church home. We've seen an agnostic make her way to believe in God. And we're now praying for her to take that next step and trust Christ. We've seen a young man get saved out of a home in which his mother was an atheist and his father was a Hindu. We saw another man this last year accept Christ, whose mom is a Buddhist and dad is an agnostic. We've seen a young man from Nepal who's now bringing his Hindu parents to church every Sunday, praying for them to be saved. We've heard a man give testimony that a couple of years ago, if the Broncos were in the playoffs on a Sunday morning, he'd have been sitting on his couch drinking a beer. And there he was sitting in church, have not taken a sip in months. Thankful for that. We have a lady who accepted Christ when she was in jail, and yet now she comes to church and brings her son with her, and God's working in her life. We have a waitress at a restaurant that we go to every Sunday who got saved, I believe, in this area when she was 12 years old, but has dabbled in all kinds of New Age things and even Islam and different religious systems, and yet through that week after week connection, she now comes to her church and brings her two little kids with her. It's awesome. It thrills my heart every week to see and hear a stampede of rowdy and raucous kids roaming the halls of the church. It thrills my heart every week to see a dozen or more people kneeling at the altar during our worship time on Sunday mornings who never would have been 4 years ago. God has sent us three faithful and committed Bible college graduates to work a job and serve in the ministry. They've been a tremendous help. It thrills my heart to hear the voice of God's people singing and bouncing and echoing off the walls in the sanctuary of the church. After months and even years of it just being our family and a couple others. We've seen our church grow in 2024 from 15 to 35 and into the 40s. As more have been saved and baptized and discipled and are now serving in ministry. This last year, our church grew to commit over $27,000 annually to missions in 2025, supporting five missionary families and two church plants here in the States. On our third anniversary back in June, our church loved on us and spoiled us. I'm just saying we've experienced some awesome things. In our first 3.5 years of ministry, God's been good. They've been some tremendous highs. But before and interspersed throughout all the tremendous highs have been some horrendous lows. When we first started the church, we had 0 first-time visitors for the first 4 months of ministry. And week after week after week, it was our family and a couple others who were helping us start the church. I think about William Carey, who went 7 years without his first conversion. And I feel like a pansy, honestly. But those feelings are real. And they're very low. Questioning your call. Wondering if this is what we're supposed to do. Early on, Hannah and I both saw people that we led to Christ out of some New Age mysticism. And saw both of them very quickly flip a switch on us, very personally. And it hurt. Throughout the time of evangelism, we received phone calls and voicemails and emails and of people expressing anger and frustration for our outreach and accusing us of abusing children, for teaching children the Bible. That's all that child abuse is in Boulder, is teaching people about God. And I realize every church goes through a measure of that, but for us in those first 4 months as we're out, day after day after day, putting out thousands and thousands and thousands of invitations and having nobody come, not for one Sunday, that it was like there was one loud voice screaming, "You should not be here. Nobody wants you here. Nobody wants Christ." And that voice rang very loud in our hearts as we questioned, "How long, Lord? How long?" We've experienced personal spiritual oppression that has hindered our ministry, attacked our prayer lives, and it feels very clear that Satan is fighting tooth and nail to hang on to territory that he has held so deeply for so long. Last year, I mentioned our cars spent several months in the shop being repaired. And they're not old cars either. Beyond the financial difficulties, it was just distracting from the ministry. Going back and forth to the shops and dealing with invoices and trying to figure out what we're going to do with the money, it was just a distraction. Go 2.5 years with not one child walking into the doors of the church and hearing the prayers for our children week after week after week after week. "God, please send us some kids to be our friends." And then recently, within the last couple of weeks, we took in a young lady who had been visiting our church for about 6 months, cared for her for several months as she tried to find a place to live. By the end of it, there were late night police visits and phone calls from false accusations of someone you just tried to love and care for. There's some situations that we face that have been some horrendous lows for us, and I say these things not to complain. I say these things simply to report, as we've seen in our text here tonight. But just like all of life, church planting has tremendous highs, but it can have some horrendous lows. That's been our experience. That was Paul and Barnabas's experience. But what I want you to come away with tonight, far more than the highs and lows of church planting, is the real blessing of church planting. And so as we hit play on our video presentation again, Barnabas continues his testimony that we all gathered around Paul's deadened body, wondering if this was the end. And then he got up, bloodied, battered, and bruised. We said, let's get you to a doctor. And he said, let's go back to Lystra. And we all said, you're crazy. And he said, those disciples need encouragement. And we went back to Lystra. And then we went back to Iconium. And we went back to Antioch and Pisidia and confirmed the souls of the disciples. And we said, we must enter the kingdom through much tribulation. There will be wars. There will be battles. There will be pains and sorrows and grief and persecutions. But we want you to know that Jesus is real, that Jesus died for you, and Jesus rose again for you, and Jesus did save your soul. So keep going on and keep witnessing and keep sharing the gospel with people here in your city. And we ordained elders and established churches in these cities. Through all the highs and lows, we left behind us a trail of believers and churches. But it wasn't anything that we had done. Would you look with me again at verse number 26? And they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. What Barnabas and Paul shared with their sending and supporting church in Antioch was, yes, there were some highs in this ministry, and yes, there were some lows in this ministry, but above all the highs and above all the lows, the real blessing of church planting was we got to see what God did along the way. We saw what God had done. We saw the souls that were saved. We saw the lives that were changed. We saw the churches that were planted. We got to see through it all what God had done. Bethany Baptist Church, I'm here to report to you not about the highs and not about the lows, but about all that God has done. God has done some amazing things. And we could not take the credit for it at all, because through some of the lows, we hurt. Through some of the lows, we wanted to give up. Through some of the lows, we wanted to quit. It was only God's grace. And it was churches like this, giving and praying, that kept us engaged in the work to see what God has done. We simply get to be witnesses of what God does. Everything God is doing in Boulder is something that you get to share in, because you give to missions. Like Antioch, you get to be a part of what God is doing. Your missions giving has enabled us to stay focused on the mission. Your prayers have encouraged us and strengthened us through every low. You get to share in every moment of rejoicing, in every high that we get to experience. Every soul that is saved, every drunk that is sober, every atheist and skeptic and Hindu and Buddhist who now bows their knee to Christ, we all share in the real blessing of seeing God work. And so my heart for this church tonight is twofold. Number one, my desire is that you would continue to share in what God is doing in Boulder and around the world. That you would give and even give more than you ever have before. That you would pray for missionaries. And maybe not just pray, but perhaps go above that and send them an email and let them know that you're praying for them. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten an email and my wife has gotten letters from supporting churches in a particular time that we were facing a real low of ministry, and God used that to just pick us up. You can have a part in that. And that's my desire for you, church. That you'd continue to share in the real blessing of seeing all that God is doing. But my desire is also this. That you'd understand that you don't have to be a distant observer of what God is doing somewhere out there. But that you can personally see and experience all that God is doing right here in Lubbock, Texas. You don't have to just send money to distant cities and distant lands. You can take some invitations and share them with people in your city. And you can get involved in outreach and going house to house and street to street in Lubbock, sharing the gospel and continuing to see what God is doing. I want you to be encouraged that God wants you through all the ups and downs of life to experience personally the real blessing of seeing what He is doing. See, even an established church like this must still be focused on reaching your city with the same heart and the same passion and zeal as a missionary going to an epicenter of paganism. Do you passionately pursue souls right here where you live? Friends, my heart is that you would not just hear reports from missionaries, but that you would give reports to missionaries about what God is doing here. And here's what will happen. As you stay focused on the right agenda, and you faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can share in the real blessing of seeing God work right where you're at. Lord, we come to you tonight.